Hello, this is Roy Lilly. Do you know, I can feel tension mounting. The pressure's on. We've had getting on for 15 years of the same party in government, and they're nowhere near ready for an election. After 15 years, you might have expected a rhythm, a pace, a clear understanding of the character of the nation and our place in the world. Instead, we've had the bemused figure of the Prime Minister at the end of the working day, standing at a lectern in the middle of the windswept street outside number 10, telling us there are forces that would divide the nation. Well, old son, what are you going to do about it? Listen, get over it. He doesn't know. Telling us he, you, me, us have a problem is all well and good. We know. It's our lived experience. What does he want us to do? What is he going to do? Dunno. Make it more difficult for us to protest? More laws about what we can say and do? Well, probably. Failing management always looks at inputs, in this case the law, and outputs, in this case arrests. They can't do root cause and outcomes. So people will rail against the new laws and, hey presto, more unrest, more dissatisfaction, more aggravation, magic. Politics is only management and communication. How difficult can it be for grown-ups? In the meantime, we have rip-off utilities, train fares, the most expensive in Europe, and I've linked to some data this morning. I mean, it's amazing. Police services, well, why bother? The percentage of crimes that were solved in England and Wales last year was just 5.7%. And I linked to the data. 5.7%, for goodness sake. A criminal justice system that makes snails look quick. A post office that appears to me first class at delivering a packet of lies. Schools that are in disarray, preoccupied with surviving inspections. Holes in the threadbare roads. Councils that are probably bankrupt, social care that's raised its entitlement bar to the point where probably 900,000 frail people no longer get any help, and we wonder why they end up in A&E. A cost of living crisis, almost a quarter of older Londoners living in poverty, and I'll link to the data on that. And in the rest of England, the figure is almost one in five. There's a war in Ukraine that we're helping to pay for with no end in sight. The Middle East, a tinderbox, and no one can stop what's happening in Gaza. And a knackered government talking about cutting taxes, resolving all its failure by cutting public sector funding, and an opposition that are, well, bewildered is polite. There is no prospect of resolving all this or any of it by the time the election comes. In tomorrow's budget, expect the Chancellor to tinker about and very likely blame the working population with talk about poor productivity. A decade of a global economic crisis, Brexit and COVID have left the UK seriously damaged. Productivity typically strengthens in an expansionary phase of the business cycle because employers hold off hiring more workers until they're certain about the economy. The tinker man fiddling with interest rates and shifting the tax burden doesn't stir my entrepreneurial old bones. Productivity is simply doing more with less. To do that needs an expansion in the workforce, investment in skills, innovation and technology. And the whole of Europe has this problem. And I linked to a very interesting report in this morning's e-letter. How do we fix it in the NHS? Well, it's easier to say how we don't fix it. Not by sending threatening letters to trusts trying to undermine their management and morale. And I linked to a thing Billy Doo that NHS England have sent out, and I think I did that yesterday as well. The NHS is a glorified production line. It's called flow. Fixed process management, and you've probably cracked it. The unpopular thought that boosting management numbers and improving operational capabilities is probably what's needed. Comparatively low levels of community nurses and allied health professionals responsible for rehabilitative care causes bottlenecks when it comes to discharge and their absence hastens admissions. NHS England stopped publishing data recording which institution is responsible for delayed bed days in early 2020. Have a look at figure 19 in this excellent report from Reform, and I linked to it this morning. It's really worth having a look. Between 2010 until that point in 2020, the NHS was responsible for the majority of delayed days. I wonder how much has changed. We all can see NHS England is under election pressure and panic. Throwing their toys out of the pram, well, the upshot of that, send for more toys. Are there solutions? Yes, of course. Although, at a national level, A&E performance is in decline, some trusts perform significantly better than others. Factors such as the hospital's level of admission, the inpatient care it offers, and demographics of its local population may be variables. But it is a fact. Some trusts are doing better than others. It's called positive deviance. Understanding that gives us a fast-track solution. Find out what they're doing and show the rest. It's called management by sharing the best. Thanks for listening. This has been Roy Lilly, and I hope we'll speak again real soon.